I'm Janice Ellis with Ellis Farms in Sinton, Texas, and you're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
It's always hard when we lose a legend. Paul Engler was a pioneering force in the development of the cattle feeding business in the Texas Panhandle. I'm James Hunt, and we'll have some thoughts on Paul Engler on Texas Ag Today.
The Environmental Protection Agency has created a new subcommittee on animal agriculture water quality. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
The state's largest general farm organization increases its investment in scholarships. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Ticks are an issue that both beef and dairy cattle producers deal with, but there's a fairly new type of tick in the U.S. that can cause some serious problems. It's called the Asian long-horned tick, and USDA says it's a serious threat to livestock. Sonia Swiger is an extension entomologist with Texas A&M AgriLife in Stephenville. She says the tick is not found in Texas yet.
Correct. It's not here in Texas, but it is in 17 other states, starting from New Jersey, the New England area, working its way south. The closest states now are Arkansas and Missouri and Georgia and Tennessee, where we are seeing it.
So why should Texas livestock producers be concerned about this tick?
The biggest concern is the numbers. It's a very small tick that can reproduce without males. So they can reproduce to high numbers, and they are not host specific. So they like lots of different types of animals to feed upon, so they can really go unnoticed. The alternative to that is there are disease implications in which they could help transmit pathogens that could be concerned for cattle.
In some regions of New Zealand and Australia, the tick has reduced production in dairy cattle by 25%. And in extreme cases, it can kill cattle due to blood loss. They can also carry a disease similar to anaplasmosis.
Yes, referred to as Tilerio or Tileriosis sometimes. We are seeing that in the Tennessee cattle right now, very similar to anaplasmosis, and that's of concern with this tick and that it's able to transmit that.
The Asian longhorn tick is spreading. The latest states to find it are Indiana and Massachusetts. Texas farmers and ranchers along the Mexican border continue to face the consequences of illegal immigration. Charlie Cardenas is the ag teacher at Eagle Pass High School. He says the issues have slowed down, but they're still a problem.
I'm usually the ag teacher that runs out to kind of look after our school farm, which is about 12 miles out of town. And here in the last couple of years that we've had the immigration problem, we get a lot of traffic coming through our property, damaging fence lines, cutting through fence, barbed wire, and so forth. Here in the last couple months, it's kind of slowed down a little bit because of the processing center that's opened up probably less than a half a mile from the farm. But we just noticed the direction of the immigration is going a little bit different. They're going towards the processing center now than just cutting across through brush. It has slowed down, like I said, but there's still a little bit of traffic coming through our property.
Cardenas says he has to fix his fences about every other week now. A year ago, he was fixing fences 2 to 3 times a week. Texas agriculture has lost a legend. James Hunt has some thoughts about the legendary Texas cattle feeder, Paul Engler.
Funeral Mass was celebrated in Amarillo on Wednesday for one of the most important figures in the history of Texas Panhandle agriculture, Paul Engler. Engler was a leading force, many would say the leading force, in getting the cattle feeding industry established in our region. For perspective on the role Paul Engler played in developing modern beef production, I talked with Ben Weinheimer. Weinheimer is president and CEO of TCFA, the Texas Cattle Feeders Association.
As Mr. Engler started his cattle feeding enterprises here in Texas, he was really focused on bringing forward not just his own ideas, but surrounding himself with talented individuals that also brought ideas to the table. And that's something that Mr. Engler never lost sight of, building upon the people who helped make him successful, his company, Cactus Feeders, successful, and then continuing to give back to not just his own company within Cactus, not just to TCFA, but across the entire industry. And his primary means of doing that, at least that we've seen, you know, in more recent years, was the emphasis he put on investing in the future generations of cattle feeders.
A very notable way that Engler chose to invest in the future of cattle feeding and in the future of agriculture in general is the millions of dollars donated to West Texas A&M University through the Paul F. and Virginia J. Engler Foundation, money that has gone a long way in growing and strengthening the school's agriculture and business programs. Paul Engler died on May 3rd at the age of 94. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
The Environmental Protection Agency has created a new subcommittee on animal agriculture water quality. Jessica Domel explains.
The Environmental Protection Agency has created a new office and subcommittee on agriculture this year. Rod Snyder, EPA Senior Advisor for Agriculture, recently discussed the new office, which he will lead, and the committee with us in Washington, D.C.
Last month, the administrator flew down to Commodity Classic, was the first EPA administrator to ever attend that event, and he used the occasion to announce the first ever Office of Agriculture and Rural Affairs at the agency. We're in the process right now of standing that up, and you know, we're going to have about 10 folks that are going to help to increase engagement with the ag sector in the coming years. I think it's a really significant effort to make sure that the ag community feels like they have a seat at the table, and that also it creates continuity for the work that we've been doing with the last 2 years with Administrator Regan to try to increase engagement with the sector, also working more closely with USDA. As part of that office, we will continue to operate EPA's Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Federal Advisory Committee. That committee right now is focused on the intersection of ag and climate and how we can help the ag sector meet its climate adaptation and mitigation goals. But also, we are one piece of news this morning that I want to make sure that I'm emphasizing is we are setting up a new subcommittee within the Farm and Ranch Committee, and that is our Animal Ag Water Quality Subcommittee. Last fall, we announced that we were soliciting membership for this subcommittee. It was a result of, in August, we had mentioned that we were denying two petitions asking the agency to overhaul its Clean Water Act permitting program for CAFOs. We were not in a position to do that, but we said that we would convene a subcommittee to look at how we can improve water quality outcomes from the animal ag sector, from animal feeding operations. It's going to be chaired by Dr. James Pritchett from Colorado State University. And we're going to spend the next 18 months exploring various ways in which the ag sector, the environmental community, state and local governments can work together to try to improve these water quality goals and reduce nutrient pollution. The first meeting of the subcommittee will take place on May 30th and 31st at EPA. We're also very pleased to have USDA sitting on that subcommittee as an ex officio member because there's so much expertise over here.
That was EPA's Rod Snyder. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
The state's largest farm organization is increasing its investments in scholarships. Tom Nicoletti tells how.
Texas Farm Bureau has increased its investment this year in scholarships by $297,000, enabling the state's largest general farm organization to help more graduating high school seniors and enrolled college students. TFB is awarding $532,000 in scholarships this year to students who are pursuing degrees at a university, trade school, in agricultural education, and in rural veterinary medicine. TFB President Russell Boehning said, quote, "The future of Texas and agriculture lies in the hands of the next generation who are making decisions about college and trade school. Expanding the scholarship program allows us to help more students, and we are proud to make this increased investment in these future leaders," Boehning concluded. TFB increased the amounts for several enrolled college student scholarships, including the SM True Junior Agricultural Scholar Award, Rural Veterinary Scholarship, Mia Balco Student Teaching Scholarship, the Young Farmer and Rancher Enrolled College Students, and scholarships awarded through Texas State Technical College. The organization also added new scholarships this year, naming four finalists in the SM True Junior Agricultural Scholar Award and Rural Veterinary Scholarship. The Texas Success Scholarship awarded through TSTC was increased to 70 $1,000 scholarships awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. High school scholarship amounts were also increased for the District Memorial and Honorary Scholarships, as well as a Young Farmer and Rancher High School Scholarship. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
This is James Duncan reporting from East Texas. In our area, storms are still coming through, meadows are still wet, slowing the first cuttings of hay, and it's important that we get that hay up, as you know.
And there's an emerging cattle disease in Missouri that could find its way here to Texas. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include, but are not limited to, livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
Keeping Texas farmers and ranchers informed for over two decades, this is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Storms continue to move through East Texas, making it hard to bale spring hay. James Duncan has an update from Marshall.
In this part of East Texas, weather is the main topic of discussion, but I guess it is everywhere nowadays. But it's always a positive, as a matter of fact, when we get rain. Little is accomplished when we don't have good moisture in this area. Now, the producers right now are waiting still to get that first cutting of hay. But hey, the winter pasture has really held up good because we've had the moisture to keep the grass growing. Soil temperatures are really too cool to get the productions out of the gardens. And one watermelon producer with a pretty good sized patch reported that he plowed his plants under already because they were planted at the right time. Everything was going good, but then the moisture and the cool temperature, disease possibilities, low production, and higher production in other areas bringing the market in, just going to make it tough on the watermelon man this year. So he said, I'm checking out right now. Now, we live in this area close to some really good river bottom land, and we have some good creek bottom land where we get corn production on a regular basis. But this year, the weather has affected that crop greatly, and it has slowed somewhat. But those that have got to stand up, it really, really looks good. So we're thankful for that. Now, corn production in this area is not a great commercial value. It's mostly for home use, such as grinding cornmeal and putting some cottonseed meal, oil, stuff like that with it to make some supplemental feeding for our livestock, because the livestock is the main thing. The grass is what we want, and taking care of those mama cows is really important. We still have producers that are looking for quality cow-calf pairs or replacement heifers to go back into their herds. There is some talk of some selling out, but there's always a market. There's always a buyer for good cattle. No doubt about that. They want the quality, got to have it nowadays. Lots of things going on in the beef industry that we have to watch real close, and you'll be hearing a lot about the identification programs in the near future. It will affect us in East Texas as well as everywhere else. This is James Duncan reporting for Texas Ag Today.
There's an emerging cattle disease in Missouri that could find its way to Texas. Dr. Bob Judd tells what it is.
The University of Missouri Director of Veterinary Extension, Dr. Craig Payne, indicates in Beef Magazine that cattle producers should watch for signs of disease associated with the protozoan Theileria. The parasite mainly affects cattle as the organism infects red blood cells, which leads to immune-mediated attack on the red blood cells, destroying them and resulting in anemia. The disease was first discovered in 2017 in the United States and so far has been found in 9 states. With mild infections, cattle may show increased temperatures, depression, and pale mucous membranes, which can be seen with other numerous cattle diseases. With severe infection, cattle can show significant depression, and the mucous membranes around the eyes appear jaundiced with a yellow tinge. Although yellow coloration of the mucous membranes generally indicates a liver problem, in this case the yellow is due to increased destruction of red blood cells and the release of bilirubin from these cells. Pregnant animals may abort and may lose body condition, but most infected cattle never show symptoms, and death rates are less than 5%. Symptoms are similar to anaplasmosis, which is a bacterial disease that infects red blood cells and also causes anemia. There is no method to determine which disease is involved without testing, although Theileria can infect calves less than 2 years of age, while anaplasma rarely affects calves. The route of transmission of Theileria is through the longhorn tick, which has been found in 19 states. But contaminated equipment and other biting flies can also transmit this disease. There is currently no vaccine or treatment for the disease, and control is based on controlling ticks and treating new animals for ticks.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Unreimbursed additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications for assistance must be submitted by May 31st to a local county farm bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Thursday. Cattle futures started the day higher. However, as the trade wound down through the day, we ended up in the red in both live and feeder cattle. June live cattle down 52 cents, closing at 175.95. The August down 50, 173.72. With October live cattle down 45 cents, 177 even. Feeder cattle seeing losses across the board. May down $1.55 at $238.65. August down $1.35, $251.05. With September feeders down $1.32, $252.07. Cash fed cattle sales have been very hard to come by this week. Earlier in the week, we saw about 4,000 head had sold at steady money, but really nothing for a market test. We saw where feedlots in the Southern Plains were asking 186 to 187. Still no sales to report so far. Boxed beef prices mixed. Choice up 26 cents, 296.93. Select down $1.55 at 286.70. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Riley Rhodes, Live Oak Livestock, Three Rivers, sells every Monday. Riley, how was this last sale?
I had a good sale, Larry. Ended up with 1,555 head today. Overall, market was pretty much steady. Cows might have been a couple dollars higher. Calves, pretty much steady, maybe 3 to 4 cents cheaper in spots, I guess, maybe on some of the bigger cattle. But overall, pretty much steady. Had a good sale. Few pairs. Bring from 1,300 up to 2,400, some bred cows from 1,250 to 2,150, high-yielding packer cows 136 to 142, the breakers 122 to 136, canners 94 to $1.16, high-yielding packer bulls 148 to 156, low- to medium-yielding bulls 120 to 148, 2 to 3 weight choice steers 384 to 434, heifer mates 368 to 412, 3 to 4 weight choice steers, 352 to 408. Heifer mates, 324 to 372. 4 to 5 weight choice steers, 324 to 386. Heifer mates, 280 to 332. 5 to 6 weight choice steers, 268 to 312. Heifer mates, 238 to 254. 6 to 7 weight choice steers, 258 to 284. Heifer mates, 220 to 244. and the 7 to 8 weight choice steers 224 to 246, heifer mates 212 to 226. So got along good. I was real pleased with it. There's a couple buyers that were out this week that were in last week. Made a little bit of difference in the calf market, but overall pretty much steady with what it has been.
Well, tell everybody how to get a hold of you for next time.
361-813-6650 is the cell. 361-786-2553 is the office. LiveOakLivestock.com is the web.
Riley, we appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Larry.
And neighbor, I'd like to thank you, too, for listening to my program, Walking the Pens, here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. We do it Monday through Friday, each and every week. Until next week, good day.
Back over to the futures market, where lean hogs finished lower. May hogs dropped 55 cents to close at 91.97. June contract down $1.9772. Class 3 milk slightly higher. May milk up 6 cents at 1866 a hundredweight. June milk up 9, 2027 a hundred. Triple digit losses for cotton, even though we had a very bullish export sales report released, one of the best ones of the year. But that fundamental factor is not enough to overcome the bearish trend the cotton market is in right now. July cotton down 146 points, 78.60. October down 119 points at 77.75. December contract down 124 points, 76.46 cents. Corn slightly lower as we see temperatures in the Corn Belt starting to move higher. That is a good sign as far as getting things dried out and getting those corn planters back rolling in the Midwest. July corn down 2 cents, 456 and a half. September down 1.5 at 467 a bushel. Wheat closed higher as traders continue to watch the weather in the plains. We have moderate to heavy rains coming from Kansas down to central Texas over the next 7 days. So we'll have to wait and see what kind of damage that may do to this current wheat crop. We closed out with July Kansas City wheat up 3.25, 651 3/4. July Chicago wheat up 3.5 at 637 1/2. In the energy markets, June natural gas up 12 cents at 231. June West Texas crude up 65, 79.64 a barrel. The financial markets higher with the Dow up 331 points, 39,387. The NASDAQ up 43 at 16,346. The S&P up 26 points, 5,214. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.